It's Food Friday. Our next guest loved to cook, and then he couldn't. Developing pain condition took him out of the kitchen, and he's not alone. For people with disabilities, chronic conditions, long-term illnesses, the impacts of aging, and more, the kitchen can be a much more challenging and less joyful space. But in a new book, our guest says he found ways to get back into cooking and shares lots of advice learned along the way. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Does this sound like your story or a family member, friend, someone you're close to? How does living with a disability or other mobility issue, say, impact what you eat, how you prepare meals for yourself or others? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Jules Sherrod is an author, writer, and food photographer based in British Columbia. His new book is called Crip Up the Kitchen, Tools, Tips, and Recipes for the Disabled Cook. Jules, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I summed up your story very briefly there. Can you talk a little more about your love of cooking, the joy of cooking, and why it was important for you to recapture that feeling?
I grew up in a family where food and cooking was always central, especially around family gatherings and community. I grew up in a lot of communities, especially communities of new Canadians, who brought their very heavy food cultures with them when they came to Canada and was really immersed in that. And so cooking was always a very central part to my life growing up. And then I became disabled in my early 20s, but it progressed to the point where cooking was pretty much cut out of my life for a good 5 years. I couldn't do it at all. It was torture. It was excruciating. And it wasn't until I found tips and tools to be able to start reclaiming that part of my life that I realized how much missing it was an issue. Like I had this gray cloud over my life, or in my brain, so to speak. It wasn't quite a depression, but it was still like everything was dull is the best way I can describe it. And I didn't realize how much part of my soul was dimmed until I was able to reclaim the ability to cook. So it was huge for me, absolutely phenomenal. And as I started to develop recipes with disability in mind, and be able to reconnect with certain recipes that were so important to me personally, and felt that joy, then it became a bit of a mission to be able to give people that joy too, who where food is so central, not just for like having to eat and stay alive, but also for a mental health reason.
And here's a line that really struck me. The kitchen is the worst room in the house if you're disabled. Can you talk about that a little?
So if you become disabled, it can cost up to $100,000 to do a renovation in the kitchen to make it accessible, because it's not cheap to lower counters, as an example. It's not cheap to widen the clearance between, say, the fridge and the counter if you're a wheelchair user. None of those things are cheap. Other rooms are much more financially feasible to update, like putting a shower rail or whatever, having aids to be able to get out of bed or whatever. All that stuff is, I mean, it's not cheap overall, but it is far more inexpensive than having to make a kitchen accessible. And even kitchens that do have the, like, new building codes have, you, I think it's like 3 feet or 2.5 feet from the fridge to the counter. But a lot of that time, that clearance is not enough to fit a wheelchair between that and still being able to open up the fridge, or fit a wheelchair safely and being able to open up an oven. All this stuff is by default not designed with disability in mind.
Now, if there is a star of your book, apart from you, Jules, it is the electric pressure cooker, the Instant Pots and other brands in the world. Why, and most of your recipes in the book center around this, why is this such a key tool?
Because of its ease of use and the fact that it doesn't matter what form of disability you have. You just throw a bunch of ingredients into the Instant Pot, You set the time and you forget about it. You don't have to worry about forgetting what you're doing if you have any type of brain fog or working memory issues. You don't have to worry about forgetting what you're cooking and burning. You don't have to worry about fatigue. You don't have to worry about standing up. You can use the kitchen room in any room in your house, or the Instant Pot in any room of the house. So if you needed to sit down and cook in your living room, you could do that at your couch, as long as you have an extension cord to be able to plug it in. It's very, very versatile and just friendly to you if you know how to use it. That's the biggest stumbling block, is learning how to use it. But once you know how to use it, then you're set for life.
It's Food Friday. We're talking to Jules Sherritt about the new book, Crip Up the Kitchen, Tools, Tips, and Recipes for the Disabled Cook. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you need some advice? Do you have some advice to share about cooking with having a particular disability or chronic condition or something that's changed in your cooking as you've aged, maybe? You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Jules, an interesting part of the cooking planning you talk about is fatigue management. And while disabilities are going to be different from person to person, it's a very common story for people that, you know, you've got a finite amount of energy. Spoons is the example you give. Can you talk about managing our energy spoons and how that factors into cooking?
So whether it be chronic illness, disability, or a pain issue, but even people who are neurodivergent, thinking is very exhausting. So exhausting. Masking, if you're neurodivergent, is exhausting. A lot of people with disabilities, one of their major shared symptoms is chronic fatigue. And people who are able-bodied have cups of energy they can spend throughout the day, and it takes no effort to replenish that cup. Those of us where fatigue is one of our main symptoms of our disability, we have spoonfuls of energy that we can spend, and it takes a lot more effort to be able to replenish those spoons. And sometimes it can take a week just to replenish one spoon. So we have to be very mindful with how we use our energy. So I have created a system where you create a chart of activities that you know you're able to accomplish based off of how many spoons you have. And it takes a while to be able to create a chart that works for you. And I give a chart in the cookbook as an example to work from, as a jumping off point. And so my suggestion is that people, in the beginning of their day, they assess their body, they figure out how many spoons they have, and then they pick activities based off of that number. They reassess in the afternoon after lunch, and if they are down to one spoon, then they are done. If they have some more spoons to spend, then they can add some more activities. The goal at the end of your day, when you reassess a third time, is to have one spoon left at least, so that you can enjoy the evening and that you're not dying and crashing on the couch once your work day is over. So you have things other than to do other than work. And so the whole concept is to work within your limitations, to recognize that we all have limitations and that is cool. And you actually end up being more productive when you work within those boundaries instead of pushing yourself to the point where you're getting injured and to the point where you're having to spend a week in bed because you did too much. And then all the recipes are organized based off of that concept. So the very first recipe takes the least amount of energy and spoons to make, and it's all the way through to the very last recipe, which takes every single ounce of energy you have. And you do that when you have like a very extra burst of energy and you want to do something very special. And most of the recipes fall into like low effort, low energy category.
Let's visit one of those recipes. You shared a few with us. We've got them at WPR.org/Food Friday, an electric pressure cooker butter chicken. Can you tell us a little bit about that recipe?
So butter chicken is a recipe that is relatively new to Indian cuisine. I have the food history to that in the book as well. And a lot of people think it's like a really old dish, and it's not. But the reason why I have it in the book is because it teaches the very basic technique for cooking a curry, and a curry is actually a cooking method and not a flavor. And that's another thing that I explain in the book. Curry means to cook in a gravy. It's often a masala gravy, which means a spicy gravy, but it doesn't have to be a masala-based gravy. And so it teaches the basics of cooking a curried dish, so that you can, any other curry that you want to do, you can use the method for those other curries as well. Once you learn one curry, you basically know how to make all the curries. There's just a method or a matter of changing up the spice blends and the ingredients. And it's a favorite, right? Like, who doesn't love butter chicken? And it's like 10 minutes of effort and it's done, compared to if you were doing butter chicken in the traditional method, traditional being in like air quotes, which you can't see, which can take hours. So it's just one of those things to really show, like, you can have this delicious dish, 10 minutes, done. And you also learn how to make other curries in the process.
It's Food Friday. We're talking to author and food photographer Jules Sherrod about his new book, Crip Up the Kitchen: Tools, Tips, and Recipes for the Disabled Cook. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have for our guest? Have you been using one of the devices we've highlighted so far? We've talked about the electric pressure cooker in particular. Do you find that simplifies your cooking? If you have a disability or something else that makes life more difficult for you in the kitchen, have you found solutions, workarounds? Do you need some advice for our guest? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our Food Friday talk with author and food photographer Jules Sherrod. We're talking about his new book called Crip Up the Kitchen: Tools, Tips, and Recipes for the Disabled Cook. If we're talking about you and your experience in the kitchen, would love to hear from you at 800-642-1234. If you're busy cooking, of course, that's just fine. But the number is 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Jules, you talk some about, you know, setting up the kitchen in convenient ways to make the flow a little better, you know, short of that $100,000 renovation that you're talking about, that obviously that is not really an option for a lot of us. What are some of your key pieces of advice?
If you have an area in your kitchen that will fit a table, it doesn't have to be a huge table, any size table that is good, prepare food at a table. You can even do this in your dining room as well, if you want to use your dining room for something other than primarily an eating room. I mean, a lot of families do that now. So have a working table. That's what kitchen tables used to be used for. And your often used appliances and tools and spices you keep on that table right in front of you. It's all about making sure that things are you don't have to go hunting for tools and pulling things out, which again, expends energy and can increase pain levels. You can have like extra carts and stuff beside you or directly behind you, all within arm's reach to put things that won't fit on that table. You don't put things away that you are using often. And a lot of people will be like, well, that's cluttered. I'm like, no. Like, this is about making sure that your kitchen works for you and that you are not hurting yourself working in your kitchen. So that's my biggest tip, is just create a work area wherever you are able to do that has those most often used tools and staple, like shelf safe ingredients at reach.
You also have an approach in the book to meal planning, Jules, and you, I think, had the same reaction to some of the meal planning advice out there. It's like, you know, it doesn't seem like it's that much less work the way these people want us to do it. You've got a different method. Could you share that with us?
Yeah, and every time I talk about this, people are like, "Are you daft?" People are like, "No, trust me, it works." So I look at meal planning at a month in advance, and automatically people are like, "Come on now, a month?" I'm like, "Yes, it's really easy if you just take an extra like 10-15 minutes to kind of plan." You pick 8 to 9 recipes that your favorite recipes that you know that no matter how you're feeling, you will like safe foods, recipes that you know you will enjoy. And then you figure out what those staple ingredients are, like the big ingredients are for those recipes. And you spend time every 2 weeks chopping those recipes in the quantities that they're used. and then you freeze them and you pull them out when you need to. And you, with the Instapot, that's another great thing is you can cook things from frozen. You just need to add a couple more minutes to the time under pressure. Super, super easy. And it's also any recipes that call for like half of something, double that recipe. So that like all of my fridge always has like 8 containers of 1 cup of onions, which is like 1 medium onion. And so like any recipe that I've ever come across that says use half an onion or half a cup of onion, I'm like, no, it's going, I'm doubling the recipe and doing 1 cup. So I'm not freezing ingredients in different sizes. It's all standardized. There's no thinking. And then I always have prepared ingredients on hand in a way that's not going to end up in compost because I've gone bad in my fridge because I just don't have the energy to cook. And if I am feeling with like I have extra energy, then I always have something ready to go. And also doing batch cooking is another big thing. Like I never make something that's only going to be enough for one meal. It's like 8 canned, like pressure jarred food canned. That go in my cupboards. I also always have prepared meals ready to go in my pantry.
Talking to Jules Sherrod on Food Friday. His new book is Crip Up the Kitchen: Tools, Tips, and Recipes for the Disabled Cook. I've got a few recipes from Jules at WPR.org/Food Friday. Let's check out, Jules, another one of those. Now, you a lot of these have personal stories. This is what I love. It's one of your church basement memories, the electric pressure cooker hamburger stew.
So I love the story of this one. And this is like a medium effort recipe because it takes quite a while to chop all the vegetables that are in it. So I grew up in the United Church of Canada, and there's a women's group called the United Church Women, UCW, that every year put out cookbooks for congregations across Canada to purchase, and that money would go to fund their local church. And people would submit recipes to it. And there were always multiple recipes. Normally, most of them would all come from the province of Saskatchewan for hamburger soup or hamburger stew. And they were all slightly different in different ways. And then I had to, like, it really stuck out to me, like, what is with Saskatchewan and hamburger stew or hamburger soup? And when I did some research, it has to do with the Dust Bowl. Dust Bowl in the Great Depression, and a time where they did not have people did not have means, especially farmers. So Saskatchewan is a farm province, and they suffered greatly during the Dust Bowl. And it was something that was cheap and nutritious that they could still feed their families with, even throughout that time. And so that's included in there as well. It's very versatile. And you can add whatever veg that you like to it. You can change up the meat from hamburger to like a meatless, like beyond meat. Or you can even use like chicken or turkey if you wanted to, if you're not, if hamburger isn't your thing. And so, yeah, it's just really delicious and versatile.
Again, you can find that recipe linked at WPR.org/Food Friday. Now, Jules, your book is filled with electric pressure cooker type recipes. There are cookbooks out there. What if people have that favorite thing that they used to make in the oven? Is it pretty easy to convert and make that in Instant Pot or other brand pressure cooker meal?
Yes, and I have a guide in the cookbook how to do both. How to so with things like in the oven, you can even do cakes in the Instant Pot. You just would put a cake pan on a trivet, put a cup of water to create the steam so it goes under pressure. It makes a very dense, moist cake. But I also have a cake recipe to use in the air fryer to give an example of how you can do cakes in the air fryer. But you can also use your bread machine to make cakes. And I have bread machine recipes as well with cakes. For if you have an air fryer, the oven ones that have a rotisserie are amazing. Then it's basically subtracting 25 degrees plus 20% of the cook time to be able to cook those things that you normally like in the oven in an air fryer. So doing an Instant Pot requires a lot more work. So I'm not sure I can explain it in the time left, but it is in the cookbook. And I think like the number one tip that I can give succinctly is that where a lot of people go wrong and why they don't enjoy their Instant Pot is because they think you can just like do 1-to-1 measurements for fluids from a stovetop recipe to the Instant Pot, not realizing that everything, like your veg and your meats, are going to add to the liquid content and dilute the flavor of the recipe. So always start with just 1 cup of water, knowing that everything else you add to it that's not a starch is going to add water to the recipe. And then if it's too concentrated for you when it's done, you can always add more water when you're done, but you cannot subtract it when it's over. So it's just, yeah, so start with 1 cup and increase water at the end if you need to.
In just our last minute or so, a half minute or so, Jules, can you offer some encouragement for people in that place where you were when you weren't able to cook, hadn't found these methods, some encouragement to maybe find ways to give it a try again?
It is daunting and it is difficult, but it's about finding the like little in. If you're not using an Instant Pot yet or other brand, try that. Finding recipes that are really low prep times, 5-10 minutes prep, and it's difficult. It's one of the things that I talk about is a lot of the recipes that are out there give unrealistic prep times. They'll say, oh, it takes 30 minutes. And where those of us with mobility issues are still chopping vegetables an hour and a half later. So it's go low, go slow, listen to your body is number one. If you need to take breaks, then take a break. Don't push through, because that's when things get like painful and ouch, and it just turns into a torture process instead of something that is joyful. And think about ways to you like unconventional ways of cooking. Like if it's easier for you to cook at a table and all you have is your dining room table, create a little cooking prep area at your dining room table and don't use your kitchen unless until it's time to like use your stove.
Jules, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That's Jules Sherrod. We've been talking on Food Friday about his new book. It's called Crip Up the Kitchen: Tools, Tips, and Recipes for the Disabled Cook. You can find a few recipes from Jules over at WPR.org/Food Friday.